Mix.
Creatures have a unique position in life. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he told young Timothy as a preacher, he said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." There are times that when a preacher stands and preaches, his message reproves and brings conviction on the hearts and lives by the work of the Holy Spirit. There are times that preacher preaches a message that is exhortation, that excites and lifts. There are times a message is pastoral in nature, preaching to reach the heart of the Christian, challenge them and encourage them. Sometimes it is a message that is evangelical, reaching out by the Word of God to get a hold of sinners that are headed for hell. But God uses it all in the life of the preacher. I was listening yesterday to a preacher on television, and he was talking about that. He said that God calls us as men of God, as pastor teachers, and at times we are teaching through the Word of God. And that is similar to what we've been doing. But at the same time, it is all a type of preaching, pastoring, reaching out to the hearts and the lives of people. And God uses that to feed the flock of God, speak to our hearts, help us to realize our time, as Chris has taught, to realize that we need the help of God to be all He wants us to be right now. To realize this thing is winding down and winding up. And God wants us to realize that we need to be faithful. And we need to serve Him and honor Him. Times are difficult. Days are hard. As for a child of God in these hours. But it is nothing like it shall be when Jesus comes and raptures the church. I have been trying to impress that on our minds, in our hearts. And I say that because I realize, just as Chris has taught so powerfully, that we all know people that are ready for Jesus to come. And so these things that I have talked about the judgment of the Lord, about the wrath of God, are the kinds of things that ought to quicken in our minds how we need to be praying, how we need to be asking God to save our friends and our loved ones. Chris made the statement in teaching. He said, no doubt, right now, somebody is on your mind that you know needs Jesus. And he was right, because I had people on my mind that need the Lord. I have people on my prayer list that need Jesus. And I try daily, as holy and humbly I can, to ask God to open their eyes before it's eternally too late. That is what we're trying to understand. Not just information, but challenge to realize these things are going to happen. People are going to face them and face the wrath and the judgment of God unless they turn to Jesus. I have looked at the first four seals as they are open. And let me pause just to say this. That Revelation chapter 6 is a type of a panoramic picture of all of the tribulation. It gives us a wide angle picture of what's happening. But then afterward, John seems to give us close-ups. He seems to describe individual events that are taking place. So we are getting an understanding of what is happening. John has talked about the rider on the white horse, the Antichrist. Over in chapter 13, he'll talk about the beast coming up out of the sea, talking about the rise of the Antichrist, how he comes out of the masses of people, takes his power by deception, deceiving the nations. And he talks about in chapter 6 the warfare, the bloodshed, the famine, all that is going to happen all throughout the tribulation. But in verse 9, John describes the opening of the fifth seal. And in the opening of the fifth seal, John takes us back to heaven. Notice first time. John says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. I'm just going to pause a moment there. John in the fifth seal describes for us the martyred saints. So John has talked about a time of bloodshed, talked about a war and killing, how the Antichrist has brought a lot of death over the world. But John now takes us back to the throne of God in the city of God. And he tells us about some that have been martyred. And he describes them. He says that their souls were under the altar. And there they were, said they had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. It is describing to us that in those days of the tribulation, it will be a time of intense religious persecution. I realize that God's children have been persecuted all down through the centuries. I think of the first martyr was Abel in the Garden of Eden. How that Cain slew his brother Abel. From that point, Christians, believers, followers of God have been persecuted down through the centuries. Multitudes have been slain for their faith. The church was birthed into religious persecution. Saul thought he was doing God a favor by killing people in the church. In the Roman days, they were crucified burned at the stake. Bloody into sacks. With live rattlesnakes. Cast into the rivers. And Nero, the Roman Emperor Nero, when sunk Christians in tar, tie of the stakes, set them on fire to light his celebrations. When Nero set the city of Rome on fire, he claimed the Christians, slaughtered hundreds of Christians. They have always faced persecution. Even in our day, reports say that in the area of 8,000 to 10,000 Christians are killed every year in our world. I don't know if you remember. I'm trying to think of a year. For some reason, I think that it was in 2015 when ISIS was such a strong power in the Middle East. I remember seeing the scenes on television how that ISIS brought, I think it was 20 men in orange jumpsuits onto the shores in Egypt and lined them all up. And behind each one of them was a soldier of ISIS with a strong knife. And they asked them, because 19 of them were Christians, they asked them one by one, would they deny their Christ or die? And all 19 refused to deny Christ, and one by one they were beheaded. They came to number 20. He was a man that wasn't a Christian at the time. But he watched the others give their life. And they asked him, would he deny faith in Christ? Or would he die? Just like the others. He looked at them and he said, their God is my God. And they killed him. I believe like the thief on the cross, I believe he was carried into the presence of the Lord. You say, preacher, is those things still happening? Christians are still dying across our world for their faith. I realize in America that we're not facing that kind of persecution. But if Jesus doesn't come soon, it may very well come to America. Because in the intensity of hatred for Christians is rising today, they hate our standards. They hate our God. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate our church. They despise our Bible. And if they could stop us, they would stop us from worship today. So persecution is around. But I want to say in the days under the Antichrist, is persecution of believers will make what Hitler did in killing the Jews seem like a small task. Because countless billions will be killed. We ask, who are these saints? Says that they were seen under the altar. By the fact that they are under the altar, is an Old Testament picture of how the blood sacrifices were poured out under the altar by the priest. It is the idea that these saints were sacrificed because of their faith. It says in verse 9 that they were slain. That word means slaughtered or butchered. And it was for their faith and their testimony. But who are they? We need to understand that after the rapture of the church, God is going to deal once again with Israel. God hasn't forgotten about His chosen people. And I believe that a lot of the Jews are finally during those days of tribulation recognize Christ as the true Messiah, and they'll pay for it for their faith. I believe also that there will probably be some Gentiles that will be saved. There will be some that have never heard the gospel message that will have opportunity in that day. We may ask the question, but preacher, the church will be gone. The Holy Spirit won't be convicting like He has. So how will they know? How will they hear? We could call it the silent witness. Because you realize there are going to be Bibles left all over the world when the church is gone. The Gideons print Bibles in hundreds of dialects and languages. They're placed all over the world. Alice and I spent just a little while a while back in Asheville and in our hotel room in the drawer lay the Gideon Bible. I believe that in those days they're going to be people, probably the first time in their life, are going to pick up a Bible, try to make sense out of what's happening in the world, and they may give their life to Christ. I believe also there is going to be Christian literature. There'll be audio CDs and videos that'll be left behind that people will find and hear. Even David Jeremiah just recently wrote a book. The title is this: After the Rapture and the End Times Guide to Survival. David Jeremiah said, I have never written this kind of book, but it is aimed for those who are left behind after the rapture. Think about that. Let that sink in a little bit. You see, God is preparing for him to have a witness in those days. I believe also in chapter 7, you'll find talking about the 144,000 Jews that God will seal as his messengers. 12,000 from each tribe. And they will go about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Chapter 12, God is going to send two witnesses. They're going to stand on the street of Jerusalem preaching the gospel of God. The Antichrist is going to try to kill them. For a while, he can't. But finally, they will be killed. After about 3 or 4 days, they're going to stand to their feet and be called away. I want to tell you, God is going to have his witness in that day. But notice their cry. They cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They're crying for vengeance. They're praying. Oh, Father, Lord, how long till you judge them and avenge us of our blood? That sounds a lot like Old Testament Jewish praying. At times, David in the Psalms prayed, and what they're called is imprecatory Psalms. They are Psalms asking God to judge his enemies. That's what these saints will be doing. You see, as believers today, God tells us to forgive those that persecute us and have to do all manner of evil against us. That's the Christian attitude. But in that hour, they're going to be praying for vengeance and justice. But notice the Lord's answer. There are some things that God does. Says, first of all, that white robes are given unto every one of them. Symbols of purity and victory. But then they are told to rest. Says, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season. That word rest, it means to rest from labor, from weariness, from trials and troubles. But then he gives them a reminder. He says, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. The Lord tells them, rest a little while, because there's others that are yet to be killed that'll be also coming. So you need to just rest till all that's fulfilled. That raises an interesting thought. Could this indicate to us that there are times in heaven that God allows those who are there to know something about what is happening down here? I think so. I really believe that there are times that God may allow those in heaven to know something happening here. Let me give you an example. I think about a mother or a dad that prayed for years asking God to see a child saved, but they died and never did. I can't help but wonder when that son or daughter finally bows and gives their heart to Christ, that God may just loosen the curtain a little bit and let them look on and see them and know they got saved. You say, do you really believe that there are those in heaven that know what is happening here? I'll give you another example of why I do. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared. And it says in the Bible, they talked with Jesus about his decease. They had come from heaven, from earth, and was talking about his crucifixion. I'm not saying God lets them see all things. I just believe that possibly sometimes God may let them over there see a few things. That's all I can say. God told him, said, rest a little while. And then he pulled back the curtain and said, some more of you, brethren, are yet to come. And things will be fulfilled. In God's time, all things will be fulfilled. I often wonder, Lord, why do you not step in? Why is it that you don't step in and stop the killing of abortion and aborting babies? God, why don't you step in and spare the life of somebody sick with a disease? God, why don't you turn around the healing, change it all for them? God, why don't you touch in certain ways and do certain things? But God's thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. In His own time, He'll do what needs to be done. I think about all those aborted babies that God may have known the kind of life would have taken them to hell. They'd have lived. God sees all those things. And so maybe God permitted the abortion, as horrible as it was, to spare that one from going to hell. Just a thought. Just a thought. In His time, God will work. It could happen any moment. They sung a while ago. In the twinkling of an eye, He could sound the trumpet, and we'd all be changed, and we'll meet Him in the air. What a day. What a day that'll be. I was riding down the road here the other day. I think it was Monday. I was headed to do a few errands. And I was looking at the sky. Right down George Hildebrand. Just said it out loud. Jesus, it could be today you come. And that'll be all right with me. I don't have nothing to go back to the house for. I'm ready for you to come. And I am. Are you ready? Do you know somebody that isn't? I ask you, we've heard a lot about it. in the lesson. And now I remind you, if you know people that aren't, pray for them. Be a light to them. Oh, if God will open the door, share the gospel with them. They may not be left behind. Brother Kevin, would you get us a song?